Okay, Chevra, so if you remember, there is a huge machlekes hatanoim about Kriya Shema. Does Kriya Shema have to be said kichsava, or is Kriya Shema said b'chol lashon? According to Reb Yehuda Hanosi, to Rebbe, Kriya Shema is kichsava only. Rebbe basically says that v'hayu tells me it's got to be the way it is. You can only do Kriya Shema in Biblical Hebrew, that's the Pashtus. And the Chachamim say, no, we really say that Shema is B'chol Lashon Shata Shomea. You could say Kriya Shema in any language. That's what the Gemara says. Grand, everything is amazing. Zuck the Gemara, going over to Lamed Gimel Amid Aleph, bottom three words of Lamed, Beis on Beis, going to Lamed Gimel, Lema Kasava Rebbe, Kala Torah B'chol Lashon Ne'emra. The Isak Adaita B'Lashon HaKodesh, Ne'emra, v'hayu dekosav rachmana lamalei. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi says that Kriya Shema is only in Hebrew. That would imply that the rest of Torah is in any language. Kol HaTorah is in any language. Again, we'll have to figure out what does it mean, the rest of Torah, all of Torah. Okay. So, L'cha'ora, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi would assume that Kol HaTorah is B'chol Lashon. So Gemara says, no, Itzrich Mishum D'chsev Shema. Leima Kasava Rabbona and Kol HaTorah B'Lashon, or Kol HaTorah Kula B'Lashon Kodesh Ne'emra. By the way, did you notice that? That in the Leima Kasava Rebbe, the Lashon HaGemara is Kol HaTorah, and in the Leima Kasava Rabbona, the Lashon of the Gemara is Kol HaTorah Kula. No? L'cha'ora, Kol HaTorah Kula is an unnecessary term, because Kol means Kol. Right? So many of the Mefarshim speak about this in the Tefillah of Rosh Hashanah Yom HaKippurim. Meloch al Kol HaOlam Kulo B'Chvodecha. Right? Isn't that repetitive? So if you daven the correct nosach, like Lubavitcher's daven, so you only say Meloch al Kol HaOlam B'Chvodecha. You don't say Kol HaOlam Kulo. The Gemara at the beginning of Horia says that maybe Kol might mean Rubo Kikulo, but Kol Kol means Kulo Kikulo. Now, that would be pshat in the Tefillah Meloch al Kol HaOlam Kulo, that we're saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should govern everything, not just Rubai Kikulo, but everything. Now, how come in our Gemara we split between Lema Kasava Rebbe, that's Kol HaTorah, and Lema Kasava Rabbon, it's Kol HaTorah Kula? I haven't got the foggiest idea. Do any of like the fancier Girsa Gemaras point this out? There's Kol HaTorah B'chol Lashon, that is within Rebbe, and Lema Kasava Rabbon, and Kol HaTorah Kula, the Lashon HaKodesh. Don't know. So Gemara, what? We'll talk about Paraduma. I understand, like, Paraduma is like super exciting. Okay, that's what it says. So, one ha'ara that we'll begin with, and then we'll maybe pick up on this at the very end. Look at the very, in my Gemara, I have like Tosa Shans on the side of the page. So on Lamed Beis, Lamed Beis, the Tosas Shans, the first wide line. Basically, our Mishnah has a million cases, no? Some of the dinim are only in Lashon HaKodesh, other dinim are B'chol Lashon, no? That's our Mishnah. Elu Nemar B'chol Lashon, Pasha Sotas B'chol Lashon, etc. So the Tosas Shans writes, Avakasha, my sphere la haitana de masnisen, e sphere la de cholatera kula becholoshen, imkain, lamely kra, bigamar la isuye, la hachir becholoshen, v sphere la de blushen hakodesh, lamely kra masnisen, behind the marm blushen hakodesh. Basically, the Taisa Shans takes our Gemara and amplifies it and extends it to the entire sugya, no? Our entire sugya basically is based on certain psukim that we have to tell me that, oh, these dinim are b'chol lashon. And then there are other psukim that tell me, oh, these dinim are b'lashon HaKodesh, right? So Tosfos Shanz asks, one second. Right? If you hold that Kol HaTorah is B'Lashon HaKodesh, so then all the dinim that are B'Chol Lashon, those would need a Pasuk. But if it's B'Chol Lashon, all the dinim that are B'Lashon HaKodesh would need a Pasuk. And how come in the Gemara we have Pesukim in both directions? Is this a question that you were bothered by?
No, I also don't. Where did you just read
them? Okay. Here, can you pass me your Gemara? Is your Gemara the same as your Gemara? Okay, so on Lamed Beis, Amid Beis, in the Tosfos Shanz, oh, you see, you have Tosfos Shanz a little different than mine. See, there's a little letter Aleph in the Tosfos Shanz. Yeah, so it's like five lines on top of that. Avokasha, Mai Svirle Lahaitana, Demasnisen. It's like five, six lines on top of the little Aleph. But basically, it's the same kasha. Our Gemara only asks the kasha by Kriyashma. That's Rishonim ask the kasha by the entire Mishnah. But the question is the same question, right? Memanav Shach. Why do you need a pasuk that these dinim are b'chol lashon if kol haTorah kula is b'chol lashon? And why do you need a pasuk that these dinim are b'lashon hakodesh if kol haTorah kula is b'lashon hakodesh? Right? Why do you need psukim in both directions? That's a Tosfos Shanz kasha. Our Gemara only says it about Kriya Shema, not about all the dinim in our Mishnah. Nishela tasheela pachimu. Why? You don't speak Russian. Okay, there you have it. That's one ha'ara. Now let's get our hands dirty in this sugya. What is this machloikis? Whether Kol HaTorah is b'chol lashon or b'lashon hakodesh? How does Rashi learn? What's the issue according to Rashi? Kriyas HaTorah, no? Kriyas HaTorah b'tzibur. Likros b'beis knesses. That's what Rashi says. In other words, according to Rashi, the discussion in the Gemara as to whether Kol HaTorah is b'lashon hakodesh or b'chol lashon relates to whether you could have a shul that does Kriyas HaTorah in German. No? That is the way Rashi says it. Comes along the Tosfos Shanz and the Tosfos Harash, and they say, one second, that means that you're assuming that Kriyas HaTorah is a din d'oraisa. No? If you hold Kol HaTorah is b'chol lashon ne'emra, so that means you could do Kriyas HaTorah in any language. This whole discussion is a discussion on the level of d'oraisa, whether it's b'lashon hakodesh or b'chol lashon. But the Balei HaTosfos, the Tosfos Shanz on the side of the page, and the Tosfos Harash in the Tosfos Harash, they ask the question, b'kasha, that we don't have any Kriyas HaTorah in shul, which is d'oraisa, because Kriyas HaTorah is a takana of Ezra. The Gemara in Bava Kamma on 82, Daf Pei Beis. The Gemara speaks about a pasuk in last week's parasha. Vayelchu shloshes yomim bamidbar velo matzu mayim. No, isn't this like famous from Ein Mayim Ela Torah? Right, just like we can't live without water, we also can't live without Torah. So Gemara says, based on that pasuk of Ein Mayim, Vayelchu shloshes yomim bamidbar velo matzu mayim, darshe rishumos omru Ein Mayim Ela Torah. When they went 3 days without Torah, so the people began to chalish. They began to get weak. Nil'u. They get sick. Umdu nevim shebeinehem. V'tiknu shiu karen b'shabes. U'masikin be'echem shabes. Karen b'sheni masikin shlishi revi. Karen b'chamishi masikin erev shabes. Kidei shelo yolinu gimu yomim b'lo Torah. So you don't have 3 days without Kriyas HaTorah. So you lean on Shabbos, Monday, and Thursday. No? There's only 7 days a week. This is a big chedesh. There's only 7 days a week. And if you have three Kriyas HaTorahs during the week, you're not going to have more than 3 days without Torah. Now, within the Gemara, The Gemara says that there are 10 takanos of Ezra, and one of those takanos of Ezra is Talein Torah. So you see that Kriyas HaTorah is a Din D'Rabbanan. So the Balei HaTosfos ask on Rashi, dear Rashi, how can you say Kriyas HaTorah is D'Oraisa? That's the question. It's a takon of Ezra. So Tosfos says, well, right, if you want to read it on the side of the page, on Tosfos Shans, Tosfos Shans says, V'lo nihira de mekriya iya shalu yos, de ein chiyuv elamit rabbanon, v'takon es Ezra. L'chein nire, l'farish, kol ha-parshios that you have to read, like Parshas Zachar, and Parshas Parah, and Parshas Egla Arufa, and the Parshas that are mentioned in the Mishnah, those you have to read B'Lashon HaKodesh. Pause, stop. The way Tosfos Shans has it, what is D'Oraisa Talein? What Kriyas HaTorah is a D'Oraisa? What?
Some of them.
What are the some of them?
Zachar,
Parah. Parah is added at the bottom. I have like a little os aleph that adds the word.
Who added Parah?
I don't know. What? Cheshek Shlomo. Oh, that's what it says. Okay.
Funny, okay.
I don't have that. It says Cheshek Shlomo in mine.
Just has it.
But the point is, according to Tosfos Shans, when I say Kriyas HaTorah is D'Oraisa within Rashi, let's say, that doesn't mean Kriyas HaTorah that I learn every Shabbos or every Monday and Thursday, that's for sure D'Rabbanon, but there are certain parshios which are D'Oraisa. He says Zohar, that's the famous one, right? We spoke about this last semester a bit, Zohar being D'Oraisa. Then he adds Parah, and Egla Arufa.
Why not Sota?
Well, he says all of those. Well, Sota is done B'chol Lashon, no? Those that have to be, those parshios that the Mishnah says have to be B'Lashon HaKodesh, for example, Chalitza, Egla Arufa, Mishuach Milchama, those things that the Mishnah says have to be B'Lashon HaKodesh. Those, the Kriya is a Din D'Oraisa on.
Are they going against the Mishnah?
Right, that's what he says, right? Kohani de Mefarsh B'Masnisen.
The Mishnah has a lot of other things as well, so.
Right, like. Very hard to know.
It's like maybe just like listing a few, but there are more.
So I think what the Tosfos Shans probably means is that there are certain of these dinim that the Mishnah says that the Torah tells me what I have to read. It's a specific parasha that you have to read. Then there are other dinim that it's not clear that there's a specific parasha that you have to read. Parashas HaMelech, Hakel. That you were asking about Hakel.
That's
before.
The parasha HaMelech is?
Yes.
Oh, the question
is Parshas HaMelech. Here, look at Rashi in the Mishnah, no?
Yeah.
No fun.
Parshas HaMelech. Mifaresh b'sof pirka v'hi. Ready? Parshas? You see Rashi in the Mishnah?
It says Hakel.
It says Hakel, yeah. I'm giving it away. It says Hakel.
Okay.
Now, you get the impression from the Tosfos Shans' presentation that there is no real Kriyas HaTorah D'Oraisa in the sense of Zachar and is D'Oraisa. All the other ones that the Tosfos Shans mentions are halachos, not that you have to lean in shul, but when you do particular mitzvos, you have to lean or you have to read specific parashios. Egla Arufa. It's not like when you find a dead guy, right, that you immediately pull out a Sefer Torah and shul and you lean. Right, you have the parasha of Egla Arufa, that the Kehanim, whatever, you say these psukim. when I say that it is kol ha-toira b'chol lashon b'lashon ha-kodesh, I say there's kriya, according to the Tosfos Shans, it does not mean really kriya in the base Knesset, but it means kriya of specific parashios. Some of them might be in shul. Zohar might be in shul. But the other ones, l'cha'ora, are not.
It's kriya. Kriya what?
Kriya might not mean leaning from a Sefer Torah in shul. Kriya might mean that on certain occasions you have to read specific psukim. That's the way I'm reading the Tosfos Shans. And if that's the case, what he says about Zohar is just that on certain occasions you have to read certain psukim, right? The Gemara says, Zohar, right? Eisei Asher Asa, lo tishkach is belev. Zohar means bepeh. That means on some occasions you have to read the psukim in Parashas Kisetze, the psukim of Zohar. It doesn't mean you have to learn them from a Sefer Torah. It doesn't. It just means that there's a parasha that you have to say it. Egla Arufa, do you have to learn them from a Sefer Torah? Absolutely not, no? You have to say these psukim on occasions. The impression I get from the Tosfos Shans is that there is no real mitzvah d'oraisa to lain even Parashas Zohar. He includes Zohar together with all the other dinim in our Mishnah, like Egla Arufa, like all the other cases in the Mishnah. The cases in the Mishnah aren't things that require a Sefer Torah in Shul. Kriyas HaTorah is not d'oraisa for the Shan, for the Tosfos Shans. Even Parsha Zohar is not d'oraisa. When I say Kol HaTorah Kula B'chol Lashon, where I'm talking about is those parshios that there's a specific chiyuv to read in the performance of specific mitzvos. But it's not about pulling out a scroll and reading it in Shul. Temi, did you have something to say? Yeah.
Well, I'm so confused. Why is he leaving out stuff from the Mishnah?
Why what?
Why is he leaving out some of the list from the Mishnah?
So I think he is referring to it. He says Parshas Egla Arufa and all of those in the Mishnah.
So then, why did we need to put in Parshas Parah there?
Yeah. So the Cheshek Shlomo, right? When he adds Parshas Parah, he is saying something very different than what the Tosfos Shan says in front of us. Let's go slowly. Read the Tosfos Harash. You have the Tosfos Harash, ladies? I think Tehila put it on.
Yeah.
Oh, I think she put the wrong one on the source thing.
Say.
Yeah, read the Tosfos Harash. Yeah, I think she put the wrong
one
on.
Yeah,
it's interesting, and that's going to be interesting maybe for later in Shir today. If we get to go Vayter in Gemara, pass the Tosfos Harash around. Some of you probably have Tosfos Harash in the back of your Gemara. I think in the back of the Ozra Hadar Gemaras, you actually have Tosfos Harash that's printed, no? If you have an Ozra Hadar, is it there? Keep on going, yeah.
That's what I'm reading? Yeah.
He says that there's a d'oraisa to read Zohar and Para and some of others, ukiyotzi behen, and some that are like Zohar and Para. Now, the footnotes on the bottom of the Tosfos Harash.
There are a lot of footnotes here.
By the way, I told you about this a couple of weeks ago. I brought Rav Moshe Lichtenstein to speak to the Kol HaOyon in Yeshiva. So the guys like, had a question and answer with him. So one of the things I asked him is like about buying new editions of Sfarim. So Rav Moshe had an interesting thing. He's like, he doesn't think the new editions are so helpful, but the footnotes are helpful. Like the old Tosfos Harash has a fine text. You don't need a new Tosfos Harash, but the footnotes are usable, are useful. Yeah. Maybe Tosfos Reb Yehuda Chassid, okay.
Rabbeinu Sham, Berit Megillah Sham.
Read the next note, it's like 17 or something, 16, 17.
Sarif Eim Bekavanato Bezeh Eze Odiyesh.
Right. In other words, basically what the Tosfos Harash is saying is that there are certain Kriyas HaTorahs which are d'oraisa, and he gives me an example of those Kriyas HaTorahs which are d'oraisa as being Zohar and Parah and other similar ones which are d'oraisa. Says the footnote guy, I don't know what he means by other similar ones which are d'oraisa. By Zachar and Para, I understand the d'oraisa. But which other Kriyas HaTorahs are d'oraisa? Tosfos in a number of places.
But why do we even think Para is?
So why would Para be d'oraisa? No one has any idea. No one has any idea why Para be d'oraisa. However, if you look in Shulchan Aruch, you look in Shulchan Aruch, you see, in Siman Kuf Mem Vav. Does anyone know why this room doesn't have machine bureaus in it? There's a discussion in Siman. Being in GPATS is like a school for becoming a Goyin Olam immediately. Okay, so there's a discussion in Shulchan Aruch that you're not supposed to talk during Kriyas HaTorah. Are you allowed to learn during Kriyas HaTorah? So there are various opinions in the Tosfos in Brachos and elsewhere about whether you're allowed to learn during Kriyas HaTorah. Some people permit learning during Kriyas HaTorah if you're someone is Torasa Umnoso, if you're like a Rebbe, you get paid for it, then you're allowed to learn during Kriyas HaTorah. Some people permit it if you started learning before they opened the Torah to read. Are you allowed to read Shnayim Mikra v'Echad Targum during Kriyas HaTorah? So some say it's permitted. However, the Mechaber writes, V'kol zeh eino inyan l'parshas Zachar parshas Para. Shehim ba'asara midoiraisa. Shetzarach l'chavim l'shom mipi ha'korei. Mipi ha'korei. Etc. In other words, any kula that I have to do Shnayim Mikra ve'echa Targum during laning is only true by Kriyas HaTorahs which are Durabanon. But Kriyas HaTorah of Zachar and Para?
What was the word after Para?
Ma'asara? Shehim ba'asara midoraisa. You need a minion of 10 men, min HaTorah, for Zachar and Para. So the Shulchan Aruch here in Orachayim Kuf Mem Vav, and the Shulchan Aruch later on in Tav Reish Hey Hey says the same thing, that Zachar and Para are d'oraisa. And no one really knows what it means. Why would Parshas Para be d'oraisa? Tav Reish Pei Hei Se'if Zayin in the Mechaber. Yesh Omrim. Sheparshas Zachar, Parshas Para Aduma, you have to read Min HaTorah. Therefore, if you don't have a minyan in your town, you should go to a big city for these parshios to hear them because they are d'oraisa.
We paskin that way?
So by Zachar, we paskin that way. We assume that Zachar is d'oraisa.
We
don't understand what this is talking about. Everyone comments on it, and everyone says we don't understand what it's talking about. The Bach. Did any of you? I think I gave you to look in the Bach and Tav Reish Pei Hei.
I don't think we do.
So the Bach says, I don't know what you're talking about. That Parah is d'oraisa. No one knows why Parah should be different than Shkolim and then Hachodesh. Right? There are four parashios that you read, no? To prepare in the lead up to Pesach. Or lead up to Purim and Pesach. The Taz over here quotes it. Taz quotes, why on earth would Parshas Para be d'oraisa? And then there, you were doing some work in the different Tosfos. Here, actually, the Magen Avraham and the Taz, they both say, the Magen Avraham says that the Shlosh says that Parshas Para is not d'oraisa, and the Bach says it's not d'oraisa. Zachar is the only one that's d'oraisa. And they quote, that's what Tosfos Shan says, that only Zachar is d'oraisa.
Well, no, that makes sense. Maybe they had the
Gersa
of the
Tosfos Shan. So they have the other version of the Tosfos Shan's. And the short Tosfos in Brachos writes that Zachar and Parah are Da'iraisa.
Oh, I don't know.
The short Tosis in Brachos writes that Zachar and Parah are Da'iraisa. What does it mean, the short Tosis? I think that means the Kitzer Piske HaTosvis in the back of the Gemaras.
Are Tosfot Shads and Tosfot Arash also contributors to Tosfot?
Okay, so they are different versions of Tosis. Okay, it goes like this.
I should probably take Rabbi Counterfocals.
Yeah.
Always because...
So here's the story. Tosis are a group of Rishonim from France and Germany who lived over a period, let's say, of 250 years. Tosfos were different yeshivos, and students would take notes on what was said in yeshivos. Most of the Tosfos was based on analysis of the positions of the Rabbeinu Tam and others. That's what they were doing. They were asking contradictions between Gemaras and trying to resolve it with the method of dialectic, which is a technical term. Dr. Salvechik has a nice write-up in his book on Yayin Nesach about how the Balei HaTosis work. Now, there are different versions of Tosis, different manuscripts of Tosis, and different yeshivas in Europe. Tosis HaRush is historically a very important version of the Tosis because the Rush famously moved from Germany to Spain. No? And the Rush spent 2 weeks with the Rashba in the room. In terms of 2 weeks that changed Jewish halachic history, those are them. That's the time that Ashkenaz and Sfarad meet. And the Rush came to Germany carrying this book, the Tosis HaRush. It looked exactly like this without the footnotes. Now, the reason why that's really important is because all of the Rishonim in Spain now had Tosfos. If you're a Rishon in Spain, books don't travel that quickly from different parts of the world in the medieval period. The Rishonim in Spain, before the Rashba, did not have full versions of Tosfos. After the Rashba they have, but most often what they have is the Tosis HaRash. So when they quote Tosfos, when the Rashba, the Ritva, quote Tosfos, they really mean the Tosis HaRash in most cases. Tosis Shans, what's Shans? It's another version of Tosis. It's Sans. S-E-N-S, no?
Yeah, I was pronouncing it the way it's spelled.
Right? Sans. There's a famous book by Marcus Lehman about the Bishop of Sans. Whatever. So, Shans is an interesting community in that I think it's in France, but it's closer to the border. Is that true? It's closer to other... I shouldn't say something I don't know about. So I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to say anything about Tosis Shans. You have to look. The best book about the Balei HaTosis is a book called Balei HaTosos. It's written by Professor Orbach, Ephraim Orbach. He actually goes through all of the Tosis in... What we have is Tosis printed on the side of the page. No? In our Gemaras, you have Tosis on the side of the page. The thing is that in some Masechtas, the Tosfos is one version of Tosis, and other Masechtas, it's another version of Tosis. So in Kiddushin, for example, the Tosis on the side of the page is the Tosfos Toch. T-O-U-Q-U-E-S. It is pronounced Toch in Hebrew. Right? The Tosis Toch is the Tosis on the side of the page in Kiddushin. In other Masechtas, the Tosis on the side of the page is the Tosis of Rabbeinu Peretz. That's a very late version of the Tosis. In different Masechtas, there are different versions of Tosis that just the Ram family, when they printed Shas, they used whichever manuscripts they had available and they put them on the side of the page, and it's not consistent. So you can't really ask a steer between Tosis in one Masechta and Tosis in a different Masechta. First of all, you can never ask a steer between Tosis because it's like a school, it's not a person. But the Tosis in one Masechta might be a Tosis HaRush, Tosis in different Masechta is a Tosis Tuch. There are different communities, different Tosis in that are out there. But Bekitzar Ma'aseh, most Rishonim say that Parshas Parah is not Doraisa. Most Most Rishonim say, the Magen Avraham quotes, that Parshas Zachar is Doraisa, Parshas Pura is not Doraisa, against the Mechaber. The Magen Avraham is bothered by Akasha. If Parshas Zachar is really Doraisa, and the Mechaber says that because Zachar is Doraisa, so the people in the small communities should go to a big city to have a minyan with a Sefer Torah to hear Zachar, how come people don't do this? 30 seconds. So the Magen Avraham answers, well, you know what? They go to the big town to hear the Megillah anyway. And when you hear the Megillah, presumably you're there for Kriyas HaTorah before Mikra Megillah Purim morning. And Kriyas HaTorah on Purim morning are the psukim in last week's parasha. Vayavo Amalek Vayilachem Im Yisrael Berfidim. Right? There are two parashios of Amalek in the Torah. There's Parashas Kiseitze and Parashas B'Shalach. Says the Magen Avraham, your yotze, the mitzvah of Parshas Zachar, when you hear Parshas B'Shalach, which you hear Purim in the morning. The mitzvah d'oraisa is that once a year you should think about killing Amalek. It doesn't have to be Parshas Zachar dafka before Purim. You could be yotze Parshas Kiseitze during regular Kriyas HaTorah. You could be yotze, says the Magen Avraham, Parshas B'Shalach. Now, the Mishnah Berurah doesn't like this Magen Avraham, because the Mishnah Berurah says, one second, in Parshas B'Shalach, the Torah writes, Ki macho emche es zecher Amalek, no? But in Parshas Ki Seitze, it says, macho timche es zecher Amalek, no? Timche es zecher Amalek. You should do it. Says the Mishnah Berurah, I don't like the Magen Avraham. Nachamo, the Magen Avraham is melamed zuchus. How come the people go to the, how can the people don't go to the big city to hear Parshas Zachar? The Magen Avraham answers, because they go to the big city to hear Mikra Megillah on Purim, and once they hear Mikra Megillah on Purim, they're Yotzei Zachar through Mikra Megillah, they're Yotzei Zachar, excuse me, through the Kriyas HaTorah on Purim morning, which is Parshas B'Shalach. The Mishnah Berurah says you can't be Yotzei at B'Shalach, because B'Shalach is Macho Emche, not Timche. B'kitzur ma'aseh, the pashtus is Zachar is d'oraisa, Para isn't mizengel.
Just a question about, oh, you need to go to a city in order, if you live in a city without a minyan, so you need to go to a place with a minyan in order to hear these parshio. Am I missing something here in terms of like all creators are in need to minyan? Right,
but all Kriyas HaTorah is a drabbanon, so therefore you don't have to make yourself crazy and go to the big city. But because these are d'oraisa, therefore, you have to go to the big city to hear it.
Okay,
that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch Siman Tav Reish Pehei. Okay, so B'kitzur HaMa'aseh, what we have is a Tosas HaRosh who says that Parshas Pura is D'oraisa. We don't understand it. Yes?
I think the Be'er Shadow is saying that,
okay, yeah,
you can say that Kriyas HaTorah all of the time is a kiyum d'oraisa.
So
you still wouldn't have to make yourself crazy to hear a minyan, but you...
Nachon. Let's talk about the Be'er Sheva now and the Keren Ora for a second. Remember, we have a Shvera Rashi, we have a difficult Rashi. Rashi says that Kriyas HaTorah is d'oraisa. It seems to be against Judaism, because Judaism, as reflected in Bava Kamma Daf Pei Beis, says that Kriyas HaTorah is a takana of Ezra. So there are a few yeshuvim that are given to the Rashi. The Bach writes there in Tav Reish Pei Hei that the Gemara says that really Moshe Rabbeinu was metaken Kriyas HaTorah after the Jewish people went 3 days without Torah. But Ezra instituted that you have to learn 10 psukim, you have to have 3 aliyahs, and Ezra instituted Kriyas HaTorah Monday and Thursday. But the fundamental idea of Kriyas HaTorah is a d'oraisa, says the Bach, because it's a takana of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is the giver of the Torah, he's the mechokek. And if Moshe Rabbeinu institutes Kriyas HaTorah, that means the Bach explains that Kriyas HaTorah is d'oraisa. Now you look puzzled. And you're puzzled probably because of what the Magen Avraham is puzzled by. The Magen Avraham being Kuf Lamed Hei says that, what do you mean? Moshe Rabbeinu has a few different roles. Moshe Rabbeinu is the Nosein HaTorah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Nosein HaTorah through Moshe Rabbeinu. Got it. But Moshe Rabbeinu also was a rabbi. So Moshe Rabbeinu can also institute Dinim Derabbanan. So Moshe Rabbeinu institutes Kriyas HaTorah. But that doesn't mean that Kriyas HaTorah is Doraisa. It's a Takana of Moshe Rabbeinu. It's not Doraisa. So that's what the Bach tries to be Miyashav Rashi, that fundamentally Kriyas HaTorah is Doraisa because it's a Takana of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Magen Avram says, no, Takana of Moshe Rabbeinu is going to be Derabbanan. The Be'er Sheva, Reb Yisachar Be'er Eilenberg.
What year did he live in?
1570.
1550 to 1623.
Okay, good. One of
the
Maharal. Different versions on the internet. Was offered to be the rabbi
and
to be a rabbi
in
Tzad.
He died on the way.
Oh yeah? I didn't even know that.
I mean, according to Encyclopedia.com.
That's good. You see, did I tell you this? Ari Berman, the current president of Yeshiva University, you guys have heard of him. So Ari Berman says that when he was the assistant rabbi in the Jewish Center, the senior rabbi then was Rabbi J.J. Schachter. Rabbi J.J. came to hear Rabbi Berman give a shiur, and he gave Rabbi Berman Musar afterwards because he quoted people and he didn't say when they lived and where they lived. So Rabbi Berman, well, one time, I don't remember if this was like a public speech that he gave when he mentioned this, or it was just like a conversation I had when he mentioned this, I just have no recollection. But basically, it's important to know when people lived and where they lived. I just noticed, actually, Rav, in this Sfarim sale, they have a book by Rav Yosef Tzvi Rimon on Shabbos, 2 volumes on Shabbos. It's very kedai to buy. It's
the
awesome.
The introduction is beautiful.
The introduction is beautiful. The whole Sefer is beautiful. It's mamish. Rav Rimon is like one of the heroes of the Jewish people. besides, seriously,
I love it.
What?
I have a Haggadah, I love it.
It's amazing. He has a Birkon, he has a Haggadah, he has Hilchot Tzava. Besides the fact that he's like a world-class Talmud Chacham, writes awesome Sfarim, he also established 5 different chesed organizations, including something called Job Katif, which is to give jobs to all those who were kicked out of Gush Katif. He has an organization. Apparently, the Ethiopians in Israel have a much lower standard of living than the rest of Israeli society. He has a whole organization to Dafka to support Ethiopians. He has an entire organization to support Yesomim. Like, the man, besides the fact he's a world-class Talmud Chacham, the man, like, runs chesed organizations.
He also really wants to make a Luna Park that is Tanakh-themed.
He's awesome. I'm a huge fan of his. He also gave me one of the biggest kulos in Hilchos Nida ever, but we'll talk about that at a different time. Now, so Rav Rimon, in his Hakdama to his Sefer on Shabbos, which they're selling at the Sfarim sale, so Rav Rimon writes that when he wrote the Sefer, so he spoke to Rav Aaron Lichtenstein. He's been working on the Sefer for 20 years. It just came out last year, but he was working on it forever. It was supposed to be the first Sefer he published, but he felt it wasn't ready. It took him 20 years. So when he was working on it, he spoke to Rav Aaron, Zichron Levrach, and Rav Aaron said that when you quote people, you have to say when they lived, where they lived, and say a little bit about them, because he writes, this dar, this generation, needs to have respect for Talmidei Chachamim, and you don't respect the Alter Rebbe when you just hear the Alter Rebbe said this. But if I talk about who he was and where he lived and something special about him, so that will inculcate in us a sense of appropriate respect for Talmidei Chachamim, which I think is actually a very beautiful idea. And the biographies that he has throughout the Sefer are really very beautiful. You can see Rav Rimon's personality. He talks about, like, which of the Gedolim were, like, obsessed with Eretz Yisrael. Like, it's him coming out. So he writes about the Alter Rebbe. He writes that the Alter Rebbe writes at the beginning of Tanya that you accomplish as much through Chesed as you accomplish through Talmud Torah. And, like, you can see, this is like Rav Rimon. It's like, it's gushing out of him. And that's why he quotes that about the Alter Rebbe of all things. Okay. So let's go. Be'er Sheva, Reb Yisachar Be'er Eilenberg. We now know that he lived until 1623, around 1570, you said, until 1623. He was supposed to take over as chief rabbi in Prague, but he died on the way.
No, in Tzfat.
In Tzfat.
He was offered it, And he said no. And then the chief rabbi died, and then he was on his way, and he died.
Uh-huh. Okay.
According to encyclopedia.com.
So it probably is somewhat accurate. So Rabbi Yisachar Ber Eilenberg suggests that the din of Kriyas HaTorah is a chiyuv midrabbanan, but it's a kiyum min HaTorah. Right? Very often, he compares it to like the mitzvah of tzitzis, no? A man does not have to wear tzitzis. If the man happens to have a beged of dalet kanfos, you have four square corners, so then you put tzitzis on. But there's no obligation to do it. It's not a chiyuv min ha-Torah. It's a mitzvah kiyumis. Now, when he is using mitzvah kiyumis and comparing it to tzitzis, it's not really a mitzvah kiyumis tzitzis, no? Tzitzis is a situational chiyuv. A full-fledged mitzvah kiyumis is different. A full-fledged mitzvah kiyumis is a mitzvah that I have zero obligation to do, but if I do it, I get points. What?
Chalitza?
Chalitza? That we said? So chalitza is an interesting question. Chalitza is situational also, in this situation, but you're saying that chalitza, there's no obligation.
I'm saying that's how it would be different than that. Like, it's not like tzitzis, people do.
But tzitzis, you're obligated in certain cases. Chalitza, in those cases, you could do it or you could not do it. You could do yibum or chalitza. There's some discussion, maybe just do nothing, and then the woman just won't get remarried ever. Let's say she's 90 years old, and her husband dies without kids, no? Do you have to do chalitza? Is that what you're asking? I'm trying to...
Yeah, I'm saying that it's very situational, that you don't have to put yourself in that situation. It just happens upon you.
Yeah, so, exactly. So there are certain mitzvos which are situational, but they're not full-fledged mitzvos rishus. A mitzvah rishus is something that is entirely optional. You don't have to do it, but if you do it, you get points.
So is there anything else besides
So I'll give you a few.
Someone quoted this, right? If you don't eat, then you don't have to make a bracha.
Yeah.
Wait, what's this?
If you don't eat...
The Be'er Sheva
says that if you don't eat, you don't have to say Birkas HaMazon. Right? He has tzitzis and Birkas HaMazon as his cases. But Birkas HaMazon is also not a full rishus, it's a situational chiyuv. If you happen to eat a meal and you have bread kedei sevia, then you have a chiyuv. If I happen to have a garment with four corners, I have a chiyuv. It's not a full-fledged mitzvah harishus. Kriyas HaTorah is never a chiyuv. If I do it, I get dairaisa points. Midrabanan, I have to do it. Min HaTorah, I never have to do it. If I do it, Min HaTorah, says the Be'er Sheva, I get points. That's a big chiddush. The fact that there is a mitzvah harishus. Let me just speak about this for a minute. There's a famous comment of the Vilna Gaon. The Gras says, based on the pasuk in Parshas Bo, Shivas Yomim Matzos Tochelu, we know there's only a mitzvah to eat matzah Leil HaSeder, no? The rest of Yontiv, there's no mitzvah to eat matzah. The Gaon famously says in the Maisa Rav, and it's quoted by the Mishnah Berurah, for some random reason, Hilchos Sukkah, the Mishnah Berurah quotes it, but the Gra writes that if you eat matzah during Pesach, you get mitzvah points. You have zero obligation to eat matzah the rest of Yontif, no? But if you do it, you get points. That's not a situational chiyuv. That's different than Birkas HaMazon and Tzitzis. Birkas HaMazon and Tzitzis are situational chiyuvim. This is a mitzvah harishus in the full-fledged mitzvah harishus sense. Rav Shechter in the Hakdama to the Sefer Mipnine Harav. Rav Shechter writes that Rav Soloveitchik was asked, how come Gedolei Yisrael throughout the generations didn't make Aliyah? The Ramban writes, it's a mitzvah saseh min ha-Torah. V'orashtem ha-Saretz v'shavtem bo. It's a mitzvah min ha-Torah, live in Eretz Yisrael. How come Gedolei Yisrael, you have people who mamish try to do every single mitzvah, no? How come they didn't live in Eretz Yisrael? So the Rav answered that even according to the Ramban, that Yishuv Haaretz is a mitzvah d'oraisa, it's not a mitzvah chiyuvis, it's a mitzvah harishos. If you go, you get points. But you don't have to go. So, I speak about this sometimes. So you can probably hear this from me on Yom Tov 50 different places. In 1983, there was a young boy from Brooklyn, Tzvi Glatt, who, against his parents' wishes, he decided to go and learn in Eretz Yisrael for the year. He actually did not finish high school. He was supposed to be in 12th grade. He says, "Mom, Dad, I'm out of here." He goes to learn in Eretz Yisrael. He learns in Merkaz Harav. Then he goes into the Israeli army as a chayal bodeid, as a lone soldier, whatever it is. And he is patrolling in Hebron on the Shabbos, and he's killed. And after he's nifter, his friends look through his gemaras, and they find a whole bunch of, a stack of papers. He was writing a kuntras on the mitzvah of Yishuv Haaretz to convince his friends back in Brooklyn that they should go and move to Eretz Yisrael like he did. And the whole kuntras basically says that there is a tshuva of Rav Moshe Feinstein, that the mitzvah Yishuv Haaretz is a mitzvah harishos, but Rav Moshe is wrong. The whole kuntras is basically there to argue Rav Moshe. So a few interesting things over here. One is the godless of Rav Moshe. They put this sefer out, it's called Me'afar Kumi. It's a little kuntras, Me'afar Kumi, it's around 50 pages. I got it for free once. So in the Me'afar Kumi, Rav Moshe has a haskama. And the haskama that Rav Moshe Feinstein writes is, even though this entire sefer is written to argue against me, and even though I think this guy is 100% wrong, but he died on Kiddush Hashem, you should buy the book anyway.
Rav Moshe wrote this introduction to...
This is Rav Moshe's Haskama to the Sefer. This is what we call a non-Haskama Haskama, but it's more of a Haskama. My Haskama is supposed to say, right, I am Joe Biden, I approve of this message. That's what Haskama is supposed to be. Right? This Haskama is, I completely disagree with everything this guy writes. But buy the Sefer anyway. Moshe actually has the same type of Haskama on another book. There's a book by Rabbi Moskowitz called Tikkun Eruvin B'Manhattan. You know, where Moshe famously is against the Manhattan Eruv, no? So it's Rabbi Moskowitz, the Tosha Rebbe. No, the Shatzer Rebbe, the Shatzer Rebbe. So Rabbi Moskowitz writes a Sefer about Tikkun Eruvin B'Manhattan. Moshe writes, he's dead wrong. I think it's against all of the Gemara's everything. But buy the Sefer anyway because he's a Talmud Chacham and he needs Parnassa. It's like, it's hysterical. But the Gaon of Moshe is like, he writes these types of Haskamas. So we have this Sefer Me'afar Kumi that's trying to argue against the idea that Yishuv Haaretz is a Mitzvah Harishos. His Rosh Yeshiva, again, he learned in Merkaz Harav, so the Rosh Yeshiva was later the chief rabbi, Rabbi Avram Shapiro, no? Chief rabbi in Eretz Yisrael after Rav Unterman was Rav Avram Shapiro. No? He was Ashkenazi chief rabbi before Rav Lau, the Rav Lau the father. So Rav Avram Shapiro, the Rosh Yeshiva Merkaz, has a haskama, a real haskama, on this Tzvi Glatt Sefer. And in that Haskama he writes that the whole concept of Mitzvah HaRashus is foreign to Judaism. We believe in Schar V'Onesh. Schar V'Onesh means HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us reward because we listen to what Hashem says. Hashem commands us to do something, and when we listen to what Hashem says, we get mitzvahs, we get points. And points come because I'm listening to what the Ribbono Shel Olam said. In that, God says you have to do it. The concept of mitzvah harashos, that you don't have to do it, but if you do it, you get points, says Rabbi Avram Shapiro, that concept is absolutely foreign to Judaism. It can't exist. Against the Gra.
About the Gemaras itself that talk about it.
Where does the Gemara talk about mitzvah harashos?
The story of the person who's blind, who asks if anyone can find reason for why blind
people
would be
chayav. The Gemara says that Amar Rav Yosef,
yes,
that Rav Yosef said that when someone, there's machlokes, hatanoyim, with the sumas chayiv and mitzvahs or pater mitzvahs. So at first, when people would say that a blind man is exempt from mitzvahs, I would get so happy, and I'd make a party, avidna yamatov rabbanon, because I'm not obligated, and I still do it. But now that I know that gadol hametzuva va'osa mimisha ena metzuva va'osa, so I see that what? I see that if someone tells me, I shouldn't say I see, if someone tells me that a blind person is chayef in mitzvahs, then I make a party. Now that sugi about suma, which is also relevant, the Balei HaTosfos over there point out in terms of women and their chiyuv in mitzvos asei shehazman grama. Right? Do women make a bracha mitzvah asei shehazman grama? That is where the Rabbeinu Tam is that Ashkenazi women recite brachos on mitzvah asei shehazman grama. That sugya is also a little bit different, no? Because, let's go slowly. Everyone knows that there's a mitzvah min ha-Torah to shake a lulav. Some people have that mitzvah. Those are people who have a Y chromosome. Jewish men, right, have a Y chromosome. They have a mitzvah. Someone who doesn't have the Y chromosome doesn't have a mitzvah. But the act itself is clearly a religiously significant act. Haraya, someone with a Y chromosome has an obligation in it. So someone who doesn't have the Y chromosome can decide, I opt in. Right? Asuma has a technical exemption for mitzvahs. But this, according to one opinion in Tanakh, but the Suma can opt in. That's very different than a mitzvah harishus, where the entire thing is optional. There is no concept, says Rabbi Avraham Shapiro, in Judaism, of a completely optional mitzvah.
Is it at all connected to, like,
Milchemet Rishut? So Milchemet Rishut is clearly something that's a Rishus. Is Milchemet Rishut a mitzvah kiyumis? Again, what we're talking about now is a mitzvah kiyumis, that if I do it, I get points. Milchemet Rishut is just like, you don't have to make war. Sometimes you want to make war, you know, as a distraction, so that you win an election or something like that. You make a war. Right? But the idea is, says Rabbi Avraham Shapiro, that what the Be'er Sheva is saying over here, you don't have to lain. If you lain, you get a mitzvah min ha-Torah. That's already a wild idea. If you want, I wrote an article in the YU to go about eating matzah all 7 days of Pesach. And I quote this gra. And I spend a little bit of time, I don't remember if it's in the text or in the footnote, spend a little bit of time going through all the examples of mitzvahs harishus. When I wrote that article, I was not aware of this Be'er Sheva. This Be'er Sheva is another example of a mitzvahs harishus, but it could be that that concept does not exist in Yiddishkeit. Okay, so Bekitzer HaMa'aseh, Tosfos, all the Baalei Tosfos ask on Rashi, Kriyas HaTorah is not D'oraisa. The Be'er Sheva answers, oh, Kriyas HaTorah is not a chiyuv min haTorah, but it's a mitzvah kiyumis. This idea, though, could explain another sugya, which is as follows. The Gemara in Brachos says that there are brachos min haTorah. Birchas HaMazon is doiraisa la'acharov. After you eat food, there's a mitzvah doiraisa to bench. Birchas HaTorah lefonov is doiraisa. That's what it sounds like. And the tshuva of the Mishkanis Yaakov in Simin Samach Dalet. The Mishkanis Yaakov was the Rav in Karlin. Mishkanis Yaakov says the idea that when we say that Kriyas HaTorah is Doiraisa, that Birchas HaTorah is Doiraisa, it doesn't mean the Birchas HaTorah that we say in the morning. Birchas HaTorah is Doiraisa is the Birchas HaTorah that is recited before you get an aliyah. That bracha is Doiraisa. Now, it doesn't make any sense. How could Birchas HaTorah, before you get an aliyah, be D'oraisa? The entire Kriyas HaTorah is a Din D'rabbanan. How could the idea of making a bracha before you lain be D'oraisa when the entire Kriyas HaTorah is D'rabbanan? Teretz says, you see the same idea, that Kriyas HaTorah might be a chiyuv mid'rabbanan, but it's a kiyum on the level of D'oraisa. So this is the sheet of Rashi. Now Tosvis goes in a very different direction than Rashi. Over here, the printed Tosvis on the side of the page. I don't know if I have time to go into the Tosvis, but I really should have. I spent too much time on other material tonight. Did people understand this Rabbeinu Chanan on the Tosvis? And how Rabbeinu Chanan relates to Rashi? So maybe it's Kedai on Monday, Mirtz Hashem, to go through it just like to say what it says, rather than to actually read it, because I really want to do this next Gemara where you had that Tosfos HaRash that you found interesting about whether the Malachim speak Aramaic or not. We should have a good Shabbos.
Thank you.
Thank you.